Funding for WBUR comes from MathWorks, creators of MATLAB and Simulink software, accelerating the pace of engineering and science. Learn more at MathWorks.com.
This is 90.9 WBUR. Good morning, I'm Bob Oakes. And you're joining now special live coverage of Israeli Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu's address to a joint meeting of Congress. Netanyahu is expected to speak out against the emerging U.S. deal with Iran over its nuclear program with this speech. The speech has divided Washington. And in fact, several members of Congress, perhaps as many as 50, have elected to skip the speech this morning. Netanyahu was invited by House Speaker John Boehner for the speech, who did not consult President Obama or the White House, the traditional avenue for these types of addresses. In addition, the speech comes just 2 weeks before elections in Israel, and Mr. Netanyahu is up for re-election. And citing that political backdrop, President Obama has declined to meet with Netanyahu. Netanyahu is expected to make his way to the podium shortly in Washington. We'll be bringing you the whole address as soon as it begins. But first, joining us to discuss the speech and the political and the foreign policy implications is Nicholas Burns, professor of the practice of diplomacy and international politics at the Harvard Kennedy School of Government. Nick Burns is also a former U.S. ambassador to NATO. He's had a long career serving in various capacities in the government under both Democrat and Republican administrations. Ambassador Nicholas Burns, welcome back to WBUR, and thanks for joining us today.
Thanks, Bob.
So let me start with policy. What do you expect from Prime Minister Netanyahu today in the speech?
Well, Bob, what I'm looking for is how specific will he be? Because the administration, both the president yesterday and Susan Rice at the AIPAC conference, have begun to say, well, the deal may be as much as 10 years long. It's going to have some kind of limited enrichment possibilities for Iran. If the prime minister is very specific in objecting to each of those specific provisions of a likely deal, then we know the gloves are off and he's really trying to defeat President Obama through this address to Congress.
So then a stern warning you expect about the nuclear program agreement and that you're expecting Prime Minister Netanyahu to say that it will threaten Israel?
Without any question. He said that yesterday in his AIPAC address. He's been saying this consistently for the past several months. He's also up for re-election. So this is a politician at the Capitol today who wants to be re-elected, his party re-elected 2 weeks from now. And that's why this has been so unorthodox. I can't remember a time when a foreign leader was invited to visit Washington, address a joint session of Congress without the approval of the American president. So Congress, in this case, Speaker Boehner of the Republican Party, went ahead and made the invitation without the knowledge of President Obama and Secretary Kerry. That's very unorthodox. It's never happened before, at least in recent decades. And the other aspect of this, Bob, is that Israelis are listening. They'll go to the polls in 10 days, 2 weeks. And the opposite party, the Labor Party, is not going to be in Washington today. And the Isaac Herzog, who heads that party, he's running against Netanyahu. He won't have this opportunity. So in a way, I think you can say objectively, Prime Minister Netanyahu is certainly inserting himself into U.S. politics today in a very unorthodox way. We're also, through this invitation, inserting ourselves into the Israeli elections by putting one of the candidates in front of Congress, not the second.
Well, and we should point out that the speech is coming about 11 a.m. Eastern this morning, but in Israel, it's almost prime time, and it's being carried, as we understand it, live on many channels in Israel, so it's going to get a lot of play there with only 2 weeks to go before the Israeli elections.
That's exactly right. And I think so that gives, there's a political patina of this. But Bob, there'll be other people listening. I think you'll have a worldwide audience. Certainly the Iranians will be listening to see how deep is the division between the Israeli and American governments. This is unusual in the last few decades to have the Israelis and Americans so publicly separated, to have the passion and divisiveness in this relationship that we've seen from Susan Rice's remarks last week to the incessant criticism of President Obama by the Israeli government over the last several months. In generally, in this relationship for many decades now, we've argued behind the scenes. We've tried to have a united front in public. That's all changed with this speech.
Well, let's talk a little bit more about the controversy that erupted in the run-up to the speech. The prime minister tried to joke about it in his speech last night, saying it was just a disagreement within the Israeli-U.S. family. You buy that, or is it more serious than that?
It's much more serious than that. No, we have a very solid, long-standing relationship with Israel. We have a tradition of bipartisan support for that. That's all broken down. And the criticism of President Obama by the Israeli government, by Prime Minister Netanyahu's government, is unprecedented in my own experience.
So, please go on.
I was just going to say, it's normal that on big issues of war and peace, of whether or not Iran's an existential threat to Israel, that we might have disagreements with the Israelis, but never played out in the newspapers, on TV, in the Capitol today. And I think that's what you're going to see.
So are you saying in the big picture that U.S.-Israeli relations are at a new low point?
They're certainly at the lowest point in 3 decades, which is the extent of my involvement of these issues, certainly the lowest point. Now, I don't think that this is an irreparable breach. The national security interests of the United States and Israel are quite united in terms of the long term, what we want to see in the Middle East. Certainly, we want to limit Iran's ability to present a threat to either Israel or the U.S. or the Arab countries. But in the short term, until the Israeli elections are held, we're looking at a pretty open disagreement here.
Well, all members of Congress are pretty much all members of Congress present are seated in the House chamber right now waiting for the appearance of Prime Minister Netanyahu. And we should point out we estimated, or there have been estimates, that as many as 50 lawmakers would boycott the speech. And we can see that there are many open seats. Ambassador, the U.S. Ambassador to the United Nations, Samantha Power, in trying to diffuse this a little bit, said it's common for partners to disagree over policy from time to time, but a lot of people say there's more to this than just a little spat.
Well, I think that's right. And, you know, there are two things happening here. One is that you have to say that this is the most important foreign policy issue for President Obama. From the very first moments of his presidency, his inaugural speech of January 2009, you remember the clenched fist reference? He said to the Iranians, if you unclench your fist, I'll meet you halfway, in effect. This, I think, is the most important issue for the president. And here you have the Israeli prime minister coming right into the heart of the Capitol to try to defeat the president on this issue. I can't remember anything quite like it. So I think in that respect, this is different. This disagreement has become so wide open and so deep and, frankly, so passionate on both sides. It's not helpful to the overall relationship. And, Bob, second, I would look after this speech and certainly after the Israeli elections. There'll be an effort, if Netanyahu wins, to try to repair this relationship. President Obama and the Prime Minister need to make that effort because we have to have a close relationship with Israel.
So since we're talking about the relationship, I want to ask, are President Obama and Benjamin Netanyahu personally friendly?
It doesn't appear to be. You know, I have no personal knowledge. I've never been in the room with both of them at the same time. But it appears that their relationship is broken down, that there's no love lost there.
The New York Times today says both leaders disclaim any personal animosity. Do you not believe that then?
I think there's every reason to believe, given the intensity of this open public disagreement, that they've not found a way to work together effectively. And I think that has to change if Netanyahu is returned to power. It's in Israel's interest not to provoke the American president unnecessarily. We have been such a good friend to Israel for so many decades. It's in Israel's interest to make up this difference, and I think the Americans will want to make it up as well.
Prime Minister Netanyahu has been formally introduced at the podium, but he's just now entering the House chamber on Capitol Hill in Washington. It'll take him a moment to walk down the hall as he's greeted by a standing ovation, taking the applause and shaking the hands of many lawmakers as he walks down that center aisle. So let me ask you another question. Benjamin Netanyahu says it's not a personal shot at President Obama, but the president's GOP opponents have been and are sure to continue to make it such. So does it have the same effect regardless of what Prime Minister Netanyahu says?
Well, unfortunately, I think it does. There's a partisan element to this. The 50 representatives missing today are nearly all Democrats. The Republican Party went ahead and made this invitation to Prime Minister Netanyahu without the knowledge of the president, which is unprecedented. So unfortunately, I think we're seeing partisan politics. And Bob, I think on this Iran issue, if you look at the policy of President Bush in his second term and President Obama in his first 6 years, there are remarkable similarities. I would hope we could have a greater sense of bipartisanship, that we ought to try to have a common understanding of how to stop the Iranians.
Regarding the Israeli elections, the Prime Minister's critics in Israel say the speech was cooked up by his supporters in the U.S. Congress to give him a leg up in the election, in his reelection effort in 2 weeks at home. You think that's true?
Well, he is a politician. He is facing elections. It's obviously a critical moment for him. You have to see this in that light. And the Israeli ambassador to Washington, Ambassador Dermer, widely criticized in the press and by some members of Congress for having inserted himself in a political way in this address.
Do you think the controversy over his speech helps him or hurts him at home in Israel in his reelection bid, with the election just around the corner?
It certainly solidifies his base on the Israeli right, but he's opened himself up to charges that he's now diminished the U.S.-Israel relationship. It'll be interesting to see, Bob, how this cuts in the election and how big a role it actually plays in the election 10 days from now.
Analysts in Israel say that they think with this flap, with this controversy, Prime Minister Netanyahu has succeeded in making the Israeli elections about Israeli national security as opposed, for example, to the Israeli economy.
Well, I think the Prime Minister is right that this Iran issue is fundamental. It's critical for all Israelis. And obviously, they want to be assured that any deal worked out by the Obama administration is going to protect Israel's security. And that's legitimate. So in that sense, I understand why Prime Minister Netanyahu is pushing this issue. Whether it's existential or not, I happen to think it is for the Israelis. I think the Israelis have a right to speak out. This is probably not the best platform, but they certainly have a right to speak out.
Is Netanyahu in trouble at home in his reelection bid?
It seems to be a close election. He's a very formidable politician and political leader, so I wouldn't count him out.
I've got to think that if he does win reelection, the controversy over this speech is at least going to win partial credit for that.
I think he's going to, it's going to strengthen those people on the right to go out and vote for him who believe that he is onto this issue and he's focusing all his attention on this Iran.
Prime Minister Netanyahu at the podium now in Washington.
I have the honor of presenting to you the Prime Minister of Israel, His Excellency Benjamin Netanyahu.
That was House Speaker John Boehner introducing Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu, who again is taking an ovation from the members of Congress who are attending. And again, while most members are there and they're all on their feet now applauding, there are about 50 open seats, mostly or almost all Democrats, who are boycotting today's speech and the controversy in the run-up to the speech.
Speaker of the House, John Boehner. President Pro Tem, Senator Orrin Hatch, Senate Majority Leader Mitch McConnell, House Minority Leader Nancy Pelosi, and House Majority Leader Kevin McCarthy. I also want to acknowledge Senator Democratic Leader Harry Reid. Harry, it's good to see you back on your feet. And hope. May God bless the state of Israel, and may God bless the United States of America.
Israeli Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu wrapping up what was his third speech to the Congress of the United States, the body that he called the most important legislative body in the world. Speaking about the controversy in the run-up to this speech, which led many lawmakers in the House, maybe as many as 50, to boycott it today, he said it was never his intention to make this political. At the beginning of the speech, many rounds of applause when he talked about Israeli-U.S. relations, saying, "I know you stand with Israel, a bond that's above politics," saying he was always grateful to President Obama for his support and to the Congress as well. But of course, then he got into the meat of the speech. As the Prime Minister said, he felt a profound obligation to address Iran's nuclear program, saying in just the last week in military exercises, Iran practiced blowing up a U.S. aircraft carrier while talks over its nuclear program were ongoing, saying Iran's regime will always be an enemy of the United States. Then he went on to talk about the nuclear deal that the U.S. is in the process of trying to negotiate with Iran. He said the deal will not prevent Iran from developing nuclear weapons and would, in fact, all but guarantee it. And then he went on to oppose the deal in many other ways. Let's talk about that now as we bring Harvard professor Nicholas Burns, professor of practice and diplomacy at international politics at the Kennedy School, former U.S. ambassador to NATO, back to the radio. Ambassador, thanks for hanging in. What struck you about the prime minister's speech?
Well, I think, Bob, that was a very passionate, compelling, artful speech. And if you're with Prime Minister Netanyahu or if you're someone who believes in him, I think an effective speech for him. He made his case in very powerful, clear terms. As he said, Bob, this is a very bad deal and we're better off without it. So I think if you're a Netanyahu supporter, you feel good. You have to feel good about that speech. But here's the other side of the coin. He took direct issue with President Obama and Secretary of State John Kerry. He, in essence, tried to eviscerate their negotiating strategy. He, in essence, came out swinging against them. And we won't know the consequences of that approach, of going into the heart of the American Capitol in Washington, D.C., to take on your best friend publicly and try to defeat him politically. I think the consequences of that, we'll have to see how it plays in Israel and how it plays in the United States.
I think it was pretty remarkable that in the detail in which he talked, which he said that you could get on Google if you read around, that the deal as it stands now would leave Iran with a vast amount of nuclear infrastructure. Not a single nuclear facility would be dismantled, and saying while inspections would be required, inspectors don't guarantee that weapons development is stopped, and in fact that Iran could still play hide and cheat with them, as he put it.
That's right. I think the heart of the speech, Bob, was when he went after Iran as a terrorist sponsoring state in the Middle East that had killed lots of Americans in the past, which is true, by the way. And he also went after this deal as saying essentially that it guarantees, he said, that Iran will get a nuclear weapons capacity. Now, I don't myself agree with that, but it's a powerful argument. And now I think, Bob, we're going to have to see the Obama administration come out and defend this deal. And here's the problem with that. The deal is not completed. The negotiations are underway. Secretary Kerry, in fact, is in Switzerland right now negotiating with the Iranian foreign minister. The deal may or may not even materialize in the next 3 or 4 weeks. It's not a given it'll happen. But the administration has been forced now to defend a deal that is not even completed, really to defend the prospect of a deal. I think you have to say that Prime Minister Netanyahu is kind of, he's two steps ahead of the administration, and he's put them on the defensive.
Well, from what we know of the deal, it would ensure that Iran would not be capable of building a nuclear weapon in less than a year, and that the deal would run for 10 years, which in theory means that Iran would be nuclear weapons free for 11 years, the 10-year term plus one. You think that the administration will have a hard time trying to sell that now here back at home?
Well, from what I understand, just as you do from the press, what the outlines of this deal may be, I think it might turn out to be a good deal for the United States. I would defend it and defend what the administration is doing just by saying, where's the alternative to this? If we just walk away, we're walking away from the Europeans, the Chinese and Russians who are on our side of the table. We're putting ourselves in a position of basically negating negotiations that have been underway for a year and a half now. You can make an argument that the deal that may materialize will put Iran in a box. It'll essentially freeze their nuclear program. We'll be able to have vision through the IAEA inspectors as to what they're doing. And at the end of a 10-year period, the United States wouldn't have to go along with it. If we thought that Iran was cheating at any point, we'd have the right to put sanctions on them. We'd have theoretically the right to use military force. So I think this has been worth it to have this negotiation. I've supported the President and Secretary Kerry. I think the weakness in Prime Minister Netanyahu's speech today was very effective on rhetoric. There were 10 one-liners there that the Congress applauded, but it doesn't give us a realistic alternative. If the U.S. takes Netanyahu's advice and simply walks away, the rest of the world won't understand it when we're on the verge, perhaps, of an agreement that could freeze the Iranians in place for a long time.
So what does the White House do? What does President Obama do or say out of this? And the same for Secretary of State John Kerry.
Well, Bob, as I intimated earlier, I think it's a highly unusual situation. There is no deal yet. The Iranians may not be able to agree to the concessions that we're going to demand in the next two or three, our government, in the next two or three weeks. But the administration now, I think, has to come out and make a ringing defense of their approach. If they don't do that now, Prime Minister Netanyahu will have effectively defined the administration's position in the most negative light. So I think you'll see a public relations offensive. You saw Susan Rice and Ambassador Samantha Power both out yesterday at the AIPAC conference. President Obama gave an interview. I think the administration will be out in full force in the next several days to counter what Prime Minister Netanyahu has charged in this very detailed, very powerful speech.
We have a couple of minutes left. Ambassador Burns, I want to get a couple more questions in. How effective was Prime Minister Netanyahu in creating doubt on Capitol Hill about a deal?
Well, I think he certainly played into the fears that many in Congress have, mainly because they don't probably know the details of this, that somehow this might provide Iran a path to a nuclear weapon, as Prime Minister Netanyahu said. And what's complicated for the Obama administration is that it's not just Republicans who are against this deal. Senior members of the Democratic Party, most notably Senator Menendez of New Jersey, who was the ranking minority member of the Foreign Relations Committee, he's come out against these negotiations. And so the administration has to now wage a PR offensive on several fronts. They've got to be able to convert members of Congress who will support this deal, because part of the implementation of an agreement will be the gradual reduction of sanctions on Iran. Some of those can be lifted by the president through executive orders and some by the Congress.
All right. One more very quick question. Quick answer to this. Given that the prime minister said that Israel will not remain passive in the face of a genocidal enemy, do you think that if there is a deal, Israel will abide by it?
I don't think Israel will get out ahead of the United States in terms of military force. I think the United States should still lead, but the Israelis will criticize it in full force.
All right. We want to thank our guest for this special live coverage of Israeli Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu's address to a joint session of Congress. Nicholas Burns, professor of the practice of diplomacy and international politics at the Harvard Kennedy School of Government, former ambassador to NATO. He's held many other posts as well. Nick Burns, thank you very much.
Thank you, Bob.
I'm Bob Oakes. Stay with WBUR for more coverage of this speech coming up next on Here and Now. It's 1 minute before 12 noon.